continue to grow in their years. At 3:30 p.m., there's vehicles set up for trunk or treat, and 4 p.m. is the time, between 4 and 6 p.m. So if you'd like to come back, there will be some cars set up for trunk or treating. And if you'd still like to participate, it's not too late. Just come. So we'd love to have you here. There have been lots of candy donations, so if you haven't picked that up yet, there's quite a bit. So thanks to those who brought that as well. Next week is All Saints Sunday, but also the day that we fall back together and we lose daylight at the end of the day. It's going to be hard, so don't forget to set your clocks back. But please do come as we celebrate with All Saints. We're going to have some special music next Sunday with a Dixieland band. It'll be good fun when we sing All the Saints Go Marching In. So that'll be wonderful to be together. Today is Reformation Sunday. This is a day when we celebrate the heritage of Martin Luther's work and his stance in recentering the church and the gospel. So even though the whole world felt like it was shaking around him, he was able to perceive God's grace and faithfulness in the midst of all of that. And I hope that you also can experience just a little bit of that centering today. We will hear from our bells now, who will get us centered for worship. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
Let's stand together and begin with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and each other. God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not been faithful stewards of your creation. We have failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive our sin, increase our faith, strengthen us in service, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and a lost sheep is found. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our gathering song, number 526. We use setting 3 for Holy Communion today, which begins with the Kyrie on page 138, the small numbers at the front of the hymnal, setting 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews your church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd invite the children to come forward. Come on down. Good morning. For this one, actually, I might have you stay standing with me. So if you can stand up, I need you to wiggle as much as you can while we talk, okay? Can you wiggle? All right. You wiggle. Are you wiggling? Everybody's wiggling. Ooh, Spider-Man. Woohoo. Everybody's got a wiggle in them. Okay, now stop. Okay, now wiggle. Okay, now stop. Okay, now wiggle. I think you can wiggle more than you're wiggling. Okay, now stop. You guys are good at that. Do you think they could wiggle and stop like you guys could? Let's see. Okay, everybody wiggle. Okay, now stop. All right. While we're stopped, I want to teach you a verse. Repeat after me. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, let's wiggle again. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, you got it. There's a song that I want to teach you, and that's a verse from the Bible. It's Psalm 46:10. And you're going to be in Sunday school, so you're not going to hear it because the adults are going to read it. But it's a verse that means that we can stop our wiggles and hear and listen for God. Okay? Sometimes the world gets a little crazy and we can stop and be still and listen for God. So this is the song. Repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God. 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 Okay, so while we're singing, we're going to wiggle and then we're going to be still. And we're going to listen for God. Okay, ready? Be still and know that I am God. 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 Does anybody hear God? Yes. No. Sometimes it's hard to hear God. Let's try again. Be still and know that I am God. 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 Do you hear God?
Yeah.
Oh, mixed answers. You know, sometimes God is kind of hard to hear. And sometimes we hear God in our heart of hearts. And sometimes we hear God through our family and our friends, through each other. But sometimes it takes being still to know that. So as you go up to Sunday school and you learn and you grow, I would invite you to just be still and listen for where you hear God's voice, okay? And now I've got another song stuck in your head for the next week. So that's a good thing. Let's pray. The Lord be with you. God, we are listening for your voice. Help us to be still so that we can hear it and to know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming on up. You guys can head off to Sunday school.
reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I had made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 46 is appointed for us today. We'll read responsibly by whole verse, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city paths, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, we are the works of the Lord. What desolation is that of his heart?
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
A reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of anointment by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works. No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I gave in and I busted out the winter coat last week. I don't think I'm alone. But it's the season, right? The season of transition where we're not quite sure what to wear in the morning because we don't know how warm it will be in the afternoon. It's a time where a lot of people take stock of what's in their closets. So I've been going through my coats and my jackets and figuring out which ones to wash and which ones to get rid of. And which ones I had totally forgotten about and can wear again. How do you prioritize what you keep, what you donate, what you throw? A new method that's gaining popularity is called the KonMari method. Have you heard of this? There's this woman named Marie Kondo who has written a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which increased in popularity when there was a Netflix special on it all of a sudden, where she helps families go through tidying up people who are struggling with clutter in their homes. And her method is fairly simple. It involves one question. Of each item in your home, ask, does this spark joy? Does this coat spark joy? About 10 years ago, a theologian named Phyllis Tickle wrote a book called The Great Emergence, How Christianity is Changing and Why. Her premise was this. Every 500 years, the church goes through a massive rummage sale and cleans out the old forms of spirituality and replaces them with new ones. This doesn't mean that the previous forms and practices of faith become invalid or obsolete. It's simply that they lose pride of place as part of the dominant form of Christianity. So if Jesus walked this earth at the time when the calendar shifted from B.C. to A.D. or B.C.E. to Common Era, we can see that about 500 years later, around the late 4th and early 5th century, the impact of Constantine's introduction of Christianity into the Roman Empire, it had finally settled in from about a century before when he had nothing more than a dream tell him to put an X and a P on the shield of his soldiers, the Greek letters Chi and Rho, the first two letters in the name of Christ. He had been going into a civil war and he was up against an army twice his size. And in this dream he received, he thought if he marked the name of Christ on those shields, surely he would gain a victory. And he did. And when he did, Christianity spread like wildfire throughout the Roman Empire, and it was no longer just this small, oppressed movement. About 500 years after that, rummage sale. And in the 11th century, a great schism divided the church between the East and the West. Now, what we call the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church separated because of significant theological and political differences that had reached their boiling point. The prominent issues dealt with many things, but one of them was whether or not there should be yeast in the bread for communion. Yes, that was the detail that helped to split the church in two. That, and then perhaps the more substantial one, which has to do with how the church understands the work of the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit co-eternal with God the Father and Christ the Son? Or did the Holy Spirit proceed from God the Father and the Son? Which is language we still use in the Nicene Creed today. Of course, as with any major conflict, these issues were just the tip of the iceberg for the church. And for the first time, this massive split. 500 years after that, rummage sale. Another schism, or rather, a set of schisms that occurred during the Protestant Reformation. This is where we get our sense of Christianity. Lutheran Christianism is born as a movement within the Roman Catholic Church.
But the Lutheran movement was not alone, and it was joined by many other reformers. John Hus and the Hussite movement, Huldrych Zwingli and John Calvin in Switzerland, Henry VIII and the Church of England. They were all asking questions about the essentials of the church. And specifically, they were asking questions of the Roman Catholic Church and its functioning. And, well, there was another rummage sale. In the 1500s, the theology that we identify as ours was born when a German professor realized that the church was using words in a way that was actually hindering the living word from reaching the hearts of people. Some teachers in the church were telling people that they could buy God's mercy by purchasing indulgences, certificates that would guarantee the forgiveness of sin, that if they just buy this indulgence, their loved one would be free from purgatory. The professor understood this practice by saying, "You don't need the living word, which demands a revolution of your life. All you need is money." Rummage sale. The professor, Martin Luther, who was also a priest, did not want to begin a new church. He wanted to stay in the Roman Catholic Church to debate those whose teachings he thought were hindering the living word. He wanted to stay and to teach and to preach the living gospel in its purity, which he believed would ultimately reform the church and would call men and women like you and I to faithful and obedient trust. Of course, as you well know, the reality is that when anything major changes in life, the little changes become big changes. And well-meaning, passionate people begin to realize that their threshold for change is probably not as substantial or solid as they initially hoped. Unfortunately, the Reformation was just the beginning of that conflict, a conflict known as the 30 Years' War, which was one of the most deadly wars in human history. That time resulted in almost 8 million fatalities, not only from military engagements, but also from violence and famine and plague. It was on the cusp of that time that Martin Luther penned the words to our hymn of the day, "A mighty fortress is our God." A hymn that brings to life the words of Psalm 46, that when the world is shaking around us, to be still and to rely on the mighty fortress, our God, is possible. And now here we are, 501 years after Martin Luther initially nailed the 95 theses to the doors of the Castle Church. Here we are at St. Andrew in Wausau, trying to faithfully live out the mission of God as part of this Lutheran movement. And again, we are in a time of transition and our reforming. In the grand scheme of Christian history, Phyllis Tickle's basic thesis is that the great emergence is that right now Christianity is sorting through old boxes and bags, ready to ask which established practices spark joy and which ones don't. Which practices, what theology in the church is not helpful anymore? What should we be discarding? Those are hard questions to ask when you're so close to the belief and to the theology. And only time will tell what history books are going to write about this current era. But what we can say is what we see, which is that Protestantism, in all of its denominational forms, is losing influence and giving way to alternative forms of Christian expression. Quite interestingly, I was trying to prepare for some intentional continuing education, and I ordered 3 books, and I have them stacked on my desk, and I caught the titles on the spines as I was writing the sermon. I didn't think they had any connection, but now I think they might. The first was A New Lutheran History in America. The second was The Pastor in a Secular Age, Ministry to People Who No Longer Need a God. And lastly, Seculosity, How Career, Parenting, Technology, Food, politics, and romance became our new religion and what to do about it. That title is pretty long. The last of these three were recommended by pastor friends, one of whom said, "Jen, don't read these before you go to bed. You won't be able to sleep." I think of the influence of secularism on the church in this age, and I wonder if it is the process we are going through to discover what truly sparks joy within the life that we share together. Listen again to the first line of the gospel for today. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free." Jesus is speaking to those who are just a part of a small movement in the Jewish faith, and he is encouraging them. And his invitation for them was this: to continue in God's word, in the word of Jesus, who is himself the word of God. So what does continuing in Jesus' word look like for the church today? I think this is where our particular theological lens is a gift to the whole church universal. And it's stated quite clearly in the Romans passage that Tammy read for us this morning. It's this passage that reminds us that faith is always making things new and doing the work of reforming. Because we are bound to the law, we break the law, we struggle and wrestle with the law that shows us our sin. But faith is there and is seeking to spark joy, to spark life where death is otherwise dwelling. Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified by God's grace." And it's a gift. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When we continue in the word, we continue in the gift. And it's this gift, the grace of God, that comes to us again today. It's this gift that is a treasure, a unique find, an unusual discovery in this very merit-based world in which we live, that from generation to generation has carried this church in all of its forms to live out the reality that nothing we say or do, or don't say or don't do, ever has the capacity or the power to take away the love that God has for us. And this gift is free. And it's Christ doing, where on the cross God put forth the love of his life, God's very own self, as a sacrifice of atonement, effective through faith, through the gift. And here's the catch. It's Jesus' faith that does this, that does what we couldn't do for ourselves. It's Jesus' faith that makes you right with God, because we can't do it on our own. Can you imagine if in the rummage sale of our hearts and in the rummage sale of our own primary relationships, if we could see that we are no longer slaves to sin, to the things that we have done that we think make us unlovable or unworthy? Instead, the Son makes us free. So what can you let go of today? What can you get rid of now that no longer sparks joy? To make room for the gift and the reality that no matter how much we believe that we should also be thrown away or discarded, God keeps us close and is faithful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God, our refuge and strength, you make all things new. Reform your church so that our life together bears witness to your unmerited love. Lord, in your mercy, reform our relationships with you, with one another, and with all creation. Restore this good earth, the home you entrust to our care. Lord, in your mercy, bring an end to war and to violence that shakes the nations and worries your people. When voices of fear threaten to overwhelm, fill the earth with your peace and your strength. Lord, in your mercy, be the present help of those suffering the tumult of illness, poverty, abandonment, and uncertainty. Bring your calm and healing to those in need, those on our prayer list, those for whom a candle has been lit, and those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, we remember before you those who have died in Christ and now live in the fullness of salvation. We trust your presence now, even as we wait for your glory to be revealed. Lord, in your mercy, trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts that you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that is really life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table. It is open to all. You may be seated. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our sending song number 596. Let's sing the first and the last verse of hymn 596.